This week, it's Parshas Vayikra. We start the book of Leviticus, and the long and the short of Leviticus is that it's about karbanot. And we usually translate carbon as sacrifice. But you know, the word carbon, while it's, you can translate it that way, but it's not really what it means. So, the Zohar Kodesh in Vayikra says, it's called carbon, the Mekarev Almin Lahadodi, because it brings worlds close together. So, carbon, the root is krav, which means to draw close. So a carbon is something that draws heaven and earth together. You know, that's a difficult concept. It's easier to believe carbon means, hey, you take something that's yours and you sacrifice it, you burn it, you say, here, God, I want to give it to you, and so on. I mean, this idea of sacrifice, first of all, the word sacrifice comes from the Latin sacra, meaning holy, sacred. Right? So we think, as you know, we make something holy, then what do you do with it? It's holy, you can't use it anymore, so you destroy it. In English, we have all these connections and connotations with the word carbon, sacrifice, that means to give of the self, either property or physically of the self, and usually there's some destruction, you know, there's something, whatever it is that you give gets used up, whether it's your energy you sacrifice or your time, and that's really not what it means. So if we can come to Sefer Vayikra, if we can come to the book of Leviticus, and we can come to the idea of Yontiv and Korban Pesach, if we can approach all these with some new insight into what Korban is, and really the Zohar Kodesh has really nailed it down. The Mekarev Almin Lahadodi. So, what is it that you can do that can bring the worlds together? You know, what can I do to bring myself closer to you? What can I do to bring myself closer to God? It's really tough, yeah. I can write you a letter and call you up on the phone. I can tell you I miss you, I want to be with you. How does wanting to be close to someone translate into a carbon where you take a living thing and kill it and burn it? You know, so like where did that come from? What kind of a love letter is that? What kind of a message is that to leave? Yeah. I call you up, I say I want to be with you here. You know, listen, the sound in the background, that's me setting fire to my car. Yeah. What is it about carbon that draws the worlds together? You know, the first one to bring a carbon was Adam HaRishon, and yet the Zohar Kodesh says Adam HaRishon is not a carbon that we count among the carbonot. Because it says, Ki yakriv Adam ki yakriv mikem, a person from you who will make a sacrifice to God. So the Zohar Kodesh says, from you not, this excludes Adam. He's not one of us. Who's one of us? Well, Avram Yitzhak Yaakov are one of us. Yeah. You know, the whole idea of needing something physical as a token in a sacrifice, also a difficult thing, you know? You know, my wife says to me, Heshi, I love you. I don't say, well, how much, you know, prove it, or show me. Maybe sometimes I say it, but mostly it's like, yeah, I love you. I love you too. Why? If she can make me a cup of tea and say, here, Heshi, I made you this tea with love, fair enough. But it's not necessary. The Rebbe Rabbunim, his sefer, even though he didn't write it himself, his son Avram Moshe and his grandchildren, they put it together. It's called Kol Simcha. We've, over the month, the last few months, we've talked about a number of the Rebbe Rabbunim's insights. And the book of on the book of Leviticus, the whole Sefer Vayikra, he has two, three little Torah lach, and that's it. That's it. He doesn't really deal with the book of Leviticus at all. Just as an introduction, he says this Torah. It brings a Medrash Rabbah. Torah tells us, you bring an offering to God, a sacrifice, min ha-bokor, u min ha-tzoin, from the cattle and from the sheep. So the Medrash Rabbah says in the second parsha, in the 10th piskah, it says like this, Baruch ha-mokoim, blessed is God, she-siper atzmoim at-tzadikim, who siper atzmoim at-tzadikim, who will come to the translation of the, I guess you, the simplest translation would be, who counts himself among the tzaddikim? Right? We find Adam offered an ox on the altar, and Noach, he offered offerings. Avraham kept the whole Torah, as the Torah tells us there, because Ekev Asher Shem Avram B'Koili, God says, well, I'm going to keep secrets from him. I know him. He doesn't keep secrets from me. He does everything that I tell him to. So the Gemara says, from here we learn that Avraham already kept the whole Torah. And he offered up a ram, Yitzchak. Yitzchak kept the Torah, the Medrash says. He threw himself in front of his father at the Akedah like a Sezavuch, like a sheep that had been slaughtered. Yaakov, he kept the Torah as it's written. Vayitnu el Yaakov zalehei hanecha. They gave Jacob all the idols and fetishes that they'd brought from Lavan's house, even though there was no commandment against idol worship at that time. Yehuda, he kept the Torah because he kept the levirate marriage, as he said to his son Shiloh, as he said to his son Oinam Boale Shesachicha, marry your brother's widow. Yosef, we know, he kept the Torah. It says, honor your father, Ladish, you shall not kill. Don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet your neighbor's wife. All these mitzvahs Yosef already kept, actually, nitna Torah, even the Torah wasn't given. Vehem osois meilem, and they did everything of their own accord. Lefikach oyavem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God loves them. Ahava Gemura, really powerful love. V'hishvoye shmam l'shmoya godel, and he and God includes their names in his great name. It's written in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes in Psalm 119, Ashrei Tamimei Derech, lucky or blessed are the pure of ways. There are those who go in the ways of God. So it uses the word tamim, Tmimei Derech. And we know that God is Tamim, Hatsur Tamim Poloi, the rock, his ways are perfect. And in Tehillim 18 it says, Ho'el Tamim Darkoi, God whose ways are perfect. So the Medrash is pointing out that God, Siper Atzmei, he kind of compares himself to the Tzaddikim, and he's Ashrei Tmimei Derech, David HaMelech, in his prophecy says, lucky, royal are the Tmimei Derech, those who walk in perfection. And we know that God is perfection, the rock, his ways are perfect, his, and so forth. So the Rebbe Rebunim takes this medrash and he says like this. What does it mean? Baruch HaMokoim, blessed is God, Shesiper Atzmoi Im HaTzadikim. You could, if it really meant that he counts like Sphira, then it would have said Shemoina Atzmoi, not Shesiper. Siper means to narrate. Lesaper, Sipitzis Mitzrayim. So God narrates himself. Like, there's a narrative. And God says, I'm in the narrative with the tzaddikim, with the righteous. So the Rebbe Bunim says, what does this mean? You know, according to the to the Hasidim, of course, every Chassid thinks his Rebbe is the greatest, right? Of course. You know, the Bavitch Hasidim, they're convinced, that even though the Rebbe's been passed away, many years, they're sure he's Mashiach and there's. No. But the Hasidim, the Polish Hasidim, they used to say like this. Avram Avinu was the Mechalish. Avram Avinu, he was the genius who invented something new. He invented Judaism, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mefarish. Moshe Rabbeinu was a genius in that he was able to explain to everybody how to do it. But the genius of the invention was Avraham Avinu. The development of Judaism was Moshe Rabbeinu. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was the Mechadish. He was the genius who invented Kabbalah. The Ari was the Mefarish. The Ari was the developer, right? So, he made the hardware, he made the software. The Baal Shem Tov was the Mechadish. He was the genius who invented a new way of being a Jew. And the Holy Yid, the Yid HaKodesh, was the Mefarish. The one who showed us, developed the way of the Baal Shem Tov and showed us how everybody can live the way of the Baal Shem Tov was the Heilige Yid. The disciple of the Yid is the Rebbe Rebunim. So, here in this, you know, Rebunim was very, in his Torahs, he says like one word and a person, you have to fill in the blanks, right? Maybe because he was afraid to say too much, or maybe it was just a question of his style that, you know, he was. I think a lot about the Rebbe Rebunim, and because, of course, his favorite disciple is Reb Motzi Yosef Leiner of Ishbitz, the Meir Shiloyach. So, when I come across a Torah of the Rebbe Rebunim that I feel is very deep, you know, then I can spend a whole week with it. To tell the truth, I remember first learning this Torah with Julian, I don't know, about maybe 7-8 years ago, and it's been on my mind ever since. Because I'm not sure that I really get the full depths of it. And maybe, you know, and I'm afraid that maybe I'm putting my stuff on it, but what does it mean? Baruch HaMokoim Shesiper Atzmoi Im HaTzadikim. God who is Mesaper himself, he narrates himself. You know where we find that? In Brochus, in the beginning of Brochus, it talks about the three watches of the night, the first watch of the night, the dogs are barking, the second watch of the night, the donkeys wake up, and the third, it says, Isha Misaperis Imbalo. Wives talk with their husbands, and you know this is obviously a euphemism, right? Husbands and wives are intimate in the third watch of the night, like late in the night before morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, Isha Misaperis Imbalo. You know, and the Mekubalim talk about how the neshama does business with its maker at this time, and how the inyan of tikkun chatzos and you know, bringing the shechina to her husband. The word misaperes then doesn't mean counts, it doesn't mean narrate, it means is intimate. And a nice way of saying she's intimate with her husband is Isha Misaperes. She talks, she narrates, right? They talk to one another. So now, if we come to this medrash that Rebbe Rabbunim is picking up on, Baruch HaMokim, blessed is God, Shemesaper Atzmoi Im HaTzadikim, God who is intimate with Tzadikim. Now, let's look what the Rebbe says. So, Kamoya Tzadikim, Rishonim Shlei Nitna Torah Lehem, these early Tzadikim, they didn't get the Torah. God didn't tell them what to do. They, of their own, something inside them spurred them, encouraged them, infused, filled them with some kind of a spirit, moved them to do. We learn in the Torah, you know, Avram did this, Yitzhak did this, each. What is it? It's something inside them personality, right, is moving them. What is it ultimately? He says it's their tamimus. It's their simplicity. It's their genuineness. It's their authenticity. So this is the crux of what Rebbe Rabbunim wants to talk about here is Ashrei Tamimei Derech. God says, lucky are those who are genuine, authentic, whole, congruent. And they walk with God because God, Hatzur, the rock, Tamim Poli, he's also genuine and whole and congruent and authentic. God is authentic. Psst, what does it mean? So he says, if a person is Tomim, if you're genuine, like Avram Avinu was genuine about wanting to worship God, then that genuineness will move you. Avram was moved by something. It wasn't the word of God that was moving him. It was his tmimus. Yeah, this is how I'm going to do. This is what I do. This is the kind of thing that you can't really explain to somebody what it is that's moving you, right? At a certain level, right? Avram Avinu, he hadn't read Kant, you know, and Heidegger and Shakespeare, and, you know, he hadn't read Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, Avram Avinu was a shepherd who came from Ur Kasdim. You know, I don't know what kind of vocabulary he had, whether it was the kind of vocabulary that could like really deal with the very fine distinctions and so. I don't know. The reason I mention is because I don't know that it's necessary. Because it's in order to be genuine, in order to be whole, in order to, you don't need to be sophisticated, right? You don't need to have a huge vocabulary. What you need to have is like to be complete in yourself, whole. To be congruent, not to be at war with yourself, with different parts of yourself, having different ambitions and goals and purpose in life and stuff. And when a person is like whole, right? They get up in the morning, they know what their day is going to be because it's not, they don't have a diary that says 8 o'clock in the morning I have a business meeting and 10 o'clock in the morning I have a managerial conference. somebody who's genuine doesn't need a diary when they get up in the morning, because the whole day is just, it's the same thing, right? So their tamimus dictates what they're going to do next. So the Rebbeinu says, this is the meaning of the verse, Ashrei tmimei derech ha'holchem b'toras Hashem. Lucky or praiseworthy are the perfect ones who go in the Torah. So the, he says the Torah calls them Ashrei, right? Which is a very difficult word to translate. You know, in Yiddish it's easier because we said voil. Ashrei o'am or Ashrei o'ish, voil is der Mensch. Lucky is a good word, but it, of course, it has a moral connotation as well, you know. So this we know, they're lucky because they're tamim, because they're whole. They're not, you know, they're not bi-directional, right? Asher holchu b'tmimus. Their whole approach to life was not with sophistication, it was with simplicity. And the tamimus dictated what they should do next. And without any kind of yediyah, they didn't think to himself, Aaron didn't think to himself, you know, I am going to do such and such, and my children will, you know, follow my dinah 5,000 years from now. Yidden, that's not what he was thinking. That's not what Adam was, not what Yitzchak and Yaakov, people didn't think like these people that we look at their lives and we read it in the Bible. That was not what they're thinking. They just did what they needed to do next. So, Rebbeinu says, the Medrash is telling us that when God gave us the Torah, and He commanded us these commandments that we have to do, they come from that same place in God. And this is mind-blowing, because, you know, one of the affects, or the things that we assume, is that the Torah is like a vast network of interconnected the mitzvahs, the details, that, you know, you have the roots, and the roots are like a telephone network where everything is interconnected, and it's fantastically complex. And the reason that we can't understand why the Torah tells us to do this is because my thoughts are not your thoughts. So everything is so fantastically complex, we can't hope to really get a picture. And the Rebbe Rebbeinu is saying, nah, that's not it. Okay? If that's what you're thinking, you got it wrong. And when I look at it, I see he's saying it's just the opposite. Just as Avraham, he didn't have these fantastically complex thoughts which caused him, you know, to run out to those three angels in the hot day and say, please, and bow down to them and beg them to come and eat and rest under the tree and let him bring them some water to wash their feet. And it wasn't complicated. To Abraham, it was a dictate that came from his whole being. Yeah? And the Rebbeinu says, the mitzvahs that God commands us, they come from that same place in God. Very, very simple. There's no other possibility. And God arrives at these mitzvahs exactly the same way as those early tzaddikim arrived each one at his mitzvah. Because it's tamimus. It's simplicity, genuineness, integrity, it's a wholeness and an authenticity, a congruence of being is what produces somebody who is as whole as Avram, as whole as Yitzhak, as whole as Yaakov. It's just that they're complete people. They're whole. And God is whole. So God is going to produce a Torah that is going to come from the same place. And then the Rebbe Rabbunim says, "V'zeh shesiper atzmoi v'haven," and this is what the phrase means, that God is intimate with them. So he goes on to explain, Avram keeps the whole Torah. He sacrifices a ram. What's the Medrash mean? Avram, nobody told him to sacrifice a ram, right? Avram was told to sacrifice his son. As bincho es yichidcho v'haleu lo'oilo, right? God didn't tell him. It's after God says to him, Al tishlech yodcho elan naval tasle mu'umo, don't you dare touch the boy, don't do anything to him. It says, Avram lifts up his eyes, and he sees this ram caught in the thicket by its horns, and he takes it and he sacrifices it. So, it's not the Akedah, which is Avraham acting from his natural. It's the sacrifice of the ram in Yitzchak's place. That's the carbon. And Yitzchak, he wasn't commanded. Yitzchak wasn't part of the command for the Akedah. And yet, as soon as his father picks him up and says, this is what I'm going to do to you, Yitzchak throws himself down like an animal that's already been slaughtered. Like Yitzchak were completely passive. Where did this come from in Yitzchak? So then the Rabbunim says, you know where it comes from? It comes from because God was intimate. God is intimate with tzaddikim, like a man and wife. So they share so much that the tzaddikim then become godlike in their simplicity. And God becomes tzaddik-like in his complexity. So God ends up making the kind of decisions that the tzaddikim make. You know, one of our biggest, I don't know, call it mistake, you know, don't know what to call it. We think of God as being fantastically complex. Again, you know, with this pasuk from Yeshaya, Ki lo machshavei sai machshavei, my thoughts are not your thoughts, darcheichem drochoi, ki, like the heavens are higher above the earth. So, but you know, when I look at myself in my 50s, you know, inside me there's still the 40-year-old Hershey, and the teenager Hershey is still inside. None of them went away, right? You know, so each of them has their part in who I am, in my personality. In fact, I'm like an onion, right? And if you were to peel me back, you could find the fetus that was inside my mother's womb, that was me, is still there. Didn't die, didn't go away. It's just a memory, an experience, a voice perhaps. So we tend to think of God as being the ultimate adult with the ultimate amount of experience, and you know that God is the infinite onion. But you know, it's not true. God doesn't have memories like we do. God doesn't have experiences like we do. God is now. If, you know, rather than thinking of God as the ultimate adult, it's much more accurate and useful to think of God as the ultimate child. Just this one experience of now, not an onion of layers, a gazillion lifetimes and so forth. It's not useful, it's not accurate, and it sophisticates the image of God in a very Western tradition, and it goes counter to who we are as Yidden. We're not the Western tradition, we're not the Eastern tradition, we're the Jewish tradition, right? And what that says is that, you know, we keep stripping everything away from God. We keep stripping because it's just our baggage that we bring as adults. We feel that we have to project onto God, and it's not true, it's not good, right? The emes is, Rebbe Rabbunim says, you know, the way that Avraham and Yitzchak acted with God when they were alone with God, that has dictated in many ways who God is, because they were intimate and they shared with each other. And so God is Ash, is Tzur Tamim Poloi, and the Tzaddikim is Ashrei Tamimei Derech. You know, that the Tamimus, the simplicity, the genuineness, the authenticity, the rightness, that is where they connect with one another. Avraham and God, Yitzhak and God, Yaakov and God, Moshe and God, Yosef and God, you. You know where you connect with God? You connect with God only in your simplicity, the times when you're simple, not the times when you're sophisticated, and the times when you're intellectual, the times when you yourself are yourself. At those moments, you become tamim. When you're tamim, then you're capable of intimacy, and then the Torah just tells you what to do, because you tell yourself what to do. One of the reasons I feel like the Rebbe Rabbunim really didn't need to write anything else for the sake of Vayikra, right? I mean, like this one Torah, it's a lifetime Torah. What Shlomi used to call a cash Torah, right? Some Torahs you can put in your pocket and use like cash. They're so valuable, right? So the mitzvahs that we have, our problem with them is not that they're too complex for us, therefore we don't get it, but we're too complicated. That's why we can't get it. And that they are an expression of God being simple with us, as the tzaddikim were simple and straightforward and authentic. And part of the reason that some of the mitzvahs don't seem like they fit in the world today is because the world has become so complicated. And that if we are genuine about who we are, then the Torah makes sense. So, now if we look at the Zohar Kodesh, that was really the Torah of the Rabbunim that I wanted to say over. The Emes says, if we have a chance and we can come back to it another time, maybe next year, we have some fresh insights. You know what comes up for me? There are Rebbes who come up, you know, in this picture, but you know, among the non-Rebbes, the painter Monet, and you know, the way, if you go into the big museum in MoMA and other big museums where they have these huge paintings of the water lilies, the garden with the water. In that simplicity, there's a purpose, a singular purpose, a focus. Right? That's what I think Rebbe Rabbunim means when he's talking about the tamimus. That it's just whole. The person doing these paintings, you go into the room there, it's like you know what he's about. You know you're in with him. You know what he's concentrating on. You know what's on his mind. Right? In the same way, we can all be like that. There, you know, it's not rocket science. And maybe for rocket scientists, you know, that's their tmimei derech, right? You learn the Sefer Yetzirah of Rabbi Ari Kaplan, right? It's the Kabbalah of a rocket scientist, right? So, the Tiferes Yosef, he says, What was the greatness of Avraham? Why is it, the Medrash says, that whenever a person brings a korban on the Mizbeach, v'shochatoyse al yerech ha-mizbeach tzofoino, the word tzofoin is like the afikoymen, it's hidden, right? God says, I'll always remember the Akedah. Right? So the Tiferes Yosef says, what was it about the Akedah? Because Avraham, he said, had many questions. You know, God, you told me that Yitzhak is going to be my heir, and Yitzhak's going to have children. Here you're telling me to offer him up. And, you know, had Avraham listened to any of those voices of complaint or arguing or whatever, he wouldn't have gone ahead with the Akedah, right? So, and he had a choice, right? He could have listened, but he kept on saying to himself, you know what, Avram, this voice is coming from you. You know, go down deeper. And so he gets to the love he has for Yitzchak, and he says, but you know, you love Yitzchak. You know? He says, wait a minute, I need to go deeper. And Avram keeps on going down deeper and deeper and deeper until he reaches that point where, as far as he's concerned, Yitzchak is dead. Because he says, you know what, I really need to get away from... I need to get away from myself here. You know, I feel like God told me to do this, and I really need to get out of the way. You know, I'm a murderer. Yitzchak is dead. Now what? Let's see what happens. So what was Yitzchak at that moment? If his father had let go of him, what was Yitzchak at that moment? Yitzchak at that moment, his whole life was what God was giving him. It was the rotzon haposhet. And I think, you know, the Tiferes Yosef, he uses the expression rotzon haposhet, that Avraham understood the sacrifice of the Akedah as being he had to get out of the way to allow the simple desire that God has for the world to flow. And Avraham himself had so much desire and so much chesed, and so that he understood that God was telling him to get out of the way. So at the point where he had released Yitzchak's life, as far as he was concerned, Yitzchak was dead. All that mattered, in a sense, Avraham is out of the way too. What's flowing into the world is the life force that we talked about in the second Mishnah of Sefer Yetzirah, the bris yichud, that flows, which is God saying, I want you. That's what flows through into Yitzchak. That's what's keeping Yitzchak alive. That's chayim. That's the meaning of Elikim chayim. And you know, whenever you're making a korban, if you ever want to make a connection, if you ever want to, like the Zohar Kodesh says, lemekarev alman lahadodi, to bring the worlds together, you have to get out of the way that way, the way Avram gets out of the way by the Akedah. And that's why God says, whenever you make a korban, I'll remember the Akedah. Because, so the Tiferes says, Tiferes Yosef the Radzina says, what is it that God is remembering? He's remembering how Avram really allowed space for God to flow into the world in the Ratzon HaPashut, the simple desire. That's hard to do. I want the world to be in my image. I want God to be in my image. I want to be important, I want to be right, I want to be honorable, I want so many things that I want, that everything that I do is weighed down with all this stuff that I'm getting from it. And that's why we're told Avraham didn't have a clear prophecy by the Akedah, because he never was quite sure whether he's doing the right thing. Never. It was Aspaklaria She'eno Me'ira. Because he needed to get to that place where he kept on stripping himself of his desires and his expectations and his limitations and his ideas and his theories, and he just kept on going deeper and deeper down until it was Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm completely out of this. Yitzhak doesn't exist for me. I don't exist for me. Nothing exists for me. It's all there. Take it. Ah, says God, really? I'm going to remember that whenever somebody brings a carbon, because that's the meaning of carbon. You just, God says, you are allowing me to flow into the world.